Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you thanking you, God. Thanking you, Lord, for every stopgap that tried to get in the way tonight. Lord, we thank you for holding back the hand of the enemy that would try to allow us to come up with excuses why we can't hear from you for 1 hour. Lord, Holy Spirit, take control of our mind, our thought, our every intent is to focus on the word of God, which is the will of God for our lives. Jesus, we love you. We celebrate your birth last month, and now we're just celebrating all about you. Because it's all about you, Jesus, and everything that we do, it's all about to bring you glory, to bring you honor, and to bring you praise. Lord, we pray for those tonight that said, pray for me. Lord, we pray for those tonight that can't even fathom a prayer because they're in ICU in their mind. They're in ICU in the hospital. They're in ICU and don't even know they're in ICU. Lord, bless them, Lord, Father God. Renew their minds, renew their hearts, Lord. Renew their focus to be focusing on Jesus. Lord, let nothing separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And we give you the honor and we give you the praise. And Lord, therefore, we count it all settled in heaven, in earth, and underneath the earth. Let the body of Christ say amen. Praise the Lord and good evening. Welcome here to Life Changers Ministry Christian Center. I'm Pastor Marlene Haynes. Our entire leadership and all of our members and partners, we'd like to welcome you here. This is our Our Power Bible Study teaching, where we get an engrafted word from the Lord that will help us minister to ourselves first and to those that we come in contact with. So tonight, we'd like to look upon victory over worrying and stress. Victory over worrying and stress. Now we know that worrying and stress are both sins and can deprive you from the victory in Christ Jesus. I need to say that again. Worrying and stress are both sins and can deprive you of your victory in Christ Jesus. I remember when Jesus first put on my heart that sin is not from God. It's deprived from the devil. And he just wanted to see who would take the bait. Who would believe that their purpose on earth was to continuously sin. And I'm so glad all did not believe and take the bait. Tonight, I want to look at one of the characters in the Bible that really believed in the midst of all of his struggles that he had dealt with, that he had come across an area of worrying and stressed in his life, where he could have given up the victory. I am talking about none other than David, God's beloved David, that is. He was born at Bethlehem. He was the son of Jesse and the tribe of Judah. And he was the youngest son. Oh boy, was he handsome. He was a shepherd. Strong, but mostly important, he was appointed by God. He was a child of God, and he was appointed by God. See, God delivered David. For those that have the word of God, the Bible text tonight, turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. And we're going to look tonight at the 1st and 13th verse. We're talking about victory over worrying and stress. Glory be to God. And we'll have some tips a little later on, but we want to dig deep right into the word of God. So 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, beginning with the 1st to the 13th verse. And that's the Old Testament, of course, dear. Hallelujah. Yes, we're trying to see. The men of God can do this. So can the women and men, boy and girl in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We, amen, can do this. God declared it and he decreed it through his word. So let us take a look at what thus said the Lord. In the book of 1 Samuel, beginning at the 23rd chapter and the first verse, they told David, saying, "Behold, the Pharisees fight against Kendall, and they robbed the threshold. I need to get the light towards me a little bit here. Verse 2 says, "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite the Philistine?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistine and save Kinsha.'" Verse 3, "And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judea. How much more then if we come to Kadesh, against the armies of the Philistines?'" He's asking David this. Verse 4, "Then David inquired of the Lord yet again." He went back to God and he, come on now. "And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Kinsha, for I will deliver the Philistines unto thy hand.'" Verse 5, "So David and his men went to Kinsha and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Kinsha." Verse 6, "And it came to pass," good God Almighty, "when Abiathar, the son of Ahiman, fed to David to Kinsha, that he came down with an epithon in his hand." Verse 7, "And it was said, it was told to Saul that David was come in Kinsha. And Saul said, 'God had delivered him into my hands, for he is shut in by entering into the town that had grace, gates and bars.'" Verse 8, "And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Kinsha to besiege David and his men." Kind of sound familiar, y'all. Verse 9, And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to the, oh Lord, give me light, and Atah, the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Verse 10, "Then said David, 'O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant had certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Kinsha to destroy the city for my sake.'" Verse 11, "When the men of Kinsha delivered me upon his hand, will Saul come down as thy servant had heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thee thy servant," good God Almighty. And the Lord said, "He will come down." Verse 12, "Then said David, 'Will the men of Kinsha deliver me and my men unto the hand of Saul?' And the Lord said, 'They will deliver thee up.'" Verse 13, "Then David said unto his men, which were about 600, arose and depart out of Kinsha and went whithersoever, wherever he could go, they could go. And it was told to Saul that David was escaped from Kinsha and he forbearing to go forth. Verse 14, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. God wouldn't let that happen. Verse 15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness with Ziphah in a wood. Verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David unto the wood and strengthened his hand in God. I just read a little bit more, but I wanted to stop there at the 13th when it says, then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed in Kinshaw and went where whithersoever they go, and was told Saul that David was escaped from Kinshaw and forbear to go forth. You know, when I first read this, and I started studying about David being rescued here. At first, I thought David was so afraid that he had gotten so distressed behind this whole assignment that he was not going to do exactly what God had told him to do. You know, sometimes you look like a wimp doing what God tells you what to do. Sometimes David was being humble, y'all. He was being humble, and God was fulfilling his purpose by providing him an increase of support. The whole time, even though God was building up the army for David to fight and make this thing right, God had his hand on David the whole time. David had requests for deliverance from stress. That's what this is all about. He kept saying, hey, God, look, this thing is bigger than me. This pandemic, good God Almighty, Lord have mercy. This United States leadership is bigger than me. And God kept saying, I got my hand on you. I got this. Don't you worry. Don't you get stressed out about things that you are not able to control. It's beyond your control. This army. God called them all. God said, David, okay, this is what I want you to do. And this is where I want you to go. And this is where I want you to be. And while David was doing this, God was blessing him. He was captivating. He got their cattle. He smoked and he, not only did he get it, he ate it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I mean, he had to celebrate. I mean, come on now. David saved the inhabitants of that land. He saved it from going amok. And what I saw out of this, as leaders in the body of Christ, as ambassadors in the body of Christ, God have us positioned exactly where he wants us. And in a strategic time, it may not phantom in the word exactly how it should come out. Because this almost looked like David was going to be defeated, but David was actually victorious over this because he didn't allow the stress to take him out. You hear me tonight? He didn't allow the worry, are they going to come? I'm walking, but are they walking with me? Huh? He knew that the leader on the other side, he knew that Saul didn't have his back at that time. God had revealed to him what was truly going on. And when you, amen, cast that care, God will let you know what's really going on. Because see, as long as you got that care, the scales are on your eyes. You can't decipher right from wrong. All you keep knowing is that you're feeling a certain way in your heart and your mind and your soul just ain't right. Because you're carrying something that God wants you to get rid of. That stress. You can't do your best when you're stressed. When you're wearing it, as you can see in another few minutes, that's testing your faith with God. And God don't want you to focus on that. God wants you to focus on the victory. You have victory over wearing and stress, just like David did. He was right there. He was trying to figure it out, and God had already worked it out. That moment when he had any inkling of doubt, God stepped right in and sent him some help. Anybody need some help tonight? God will step right in, and he will take that worrying. He will take that stress away from you so you can go head on and conquer what he's given you to do. Don't worry about how he's going to bring it together. Know that he's bringing it together. Amen. And when he bring it together, he's going to, the God of Israel, thy servant had certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Kinnish to destroy the city for my sake. God will come in and straighten this mess out. He will make it all right. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. So now let me give you, amen, some those seven tips that we talked about last week. We're going to pick up on them now. Glory be to God. And we're going to come to the conclusion, amen, between David and these seven tips. As for believers, all is well. Hallelujah. That first one, amen, that we talked about last week was pray to stop worrying. Glory be to God. Pray to stop worrying. See, when you feel that things are out of control and you're worrying till you can't worry no more, you really need to let that go. You need to stop worrying. Last week, I gave you all Philippians 4 and 6. Let's go there. 4, 6, and 7. These are seven tips for Christians to stop worrying. Amen. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Give it back to God. He'll work it out. He wants every care that is causing you to take away the care. Amen. The care for him. You know, he loves you and he wants you. Amen. But he don't want you worrying about anything. You'll see that in a minute. Amen. Of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Glory be to God. In the word of God, praise God. Hallelujah. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. So be careful for nothing. Don't let it weigh you down. But in everything, by prayer. That's how you're going to do it. You're going to take it to God in prayer. With thanksgiving, you're going to be celebrating it while you are praying. You're going to be celebrating it while you are praying. Let me read you this prayer that I stumbled across this morning. It's a prayer to stop worrying. It said, Almighty and loving God, fill me with your peace, for I am prone to worry. Anxiety threatens to steal my peace. The world around me can be frightening. My situation's perilous. The storms and trials in my life overwhelm me. Yet, I know you are more than all of this. Fill me with your peace, which passeth all understanding. Help me to pray first and worry less. Remind me, O God, that you will fight for me. And I do not need to worry or be anxious about anything. For you are mighty and all powerful. And in you, I find peace and strength. All this I pray through your loving son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This wonderful, wonderful prayer and these wonderful verses tell us not to be filled with care or worry, but to trust God in prayer. Stop worrying by taking your request to him. There's nothing wrong with having concern over matters and sharing that with God, with others, so you can pray. Nothing like telling God, God, why did it happen to happen this way? God, I just, God, please. So often in prayer, we will hear people asking God for peace in the situation. Why we need peace? Because without the hope we have in God, we would be filled with worry. Paul said that. Paul tells us in that verse that we need to trade our worrying for peace through prayer. Paul said, why don't we trade our mourning into dancing? You know, what can we give up sorrowful that we can rejoice in the Lord in all things? So number two, we got to be thankful, y'all. In that same verse, Paul, in Philippians, that same verse, Paul says another perspective of getting rid of worrying is to be thankful. Be thankful for things you have and don't dwell on those things that you cannot control. You cannot control. Paul indicated in that scripture that there is nothing wrong with taking your questions and concerns to God. But we should not go to him out of anger and demand that he work everything out the way we want him to. We can ask him according to the word of God. We can do that. We should humbly go to him in prayer. And with a thankful heart now. And ask him to give us the peace that will open up our minds to understand and accept his plan. Oh my God. Accept God's plan. Now remember, it's almost like when you were a kid and you went to ask the parents, I'm a little ahead of myself, you asked them for something. And we'll get to that in a minute. So number three, think of good things. I know that's kind of hard when you're worrying and you're stressed, but think of good things. Philippians 4:8. Come on, let's take a look at that. I want your eyes to glow back, right? Go right back there. And this is what you're going to be thinking of. Finally, brethren, you the brethren, you the Christian, you the believer. It says, whatsoever things are true. You know, whatever God told you that's true, by his stripes you're healed. That's true, isn't it? Jesus bore all that on the cross, right? So that's true. So that's what you hold on to. You hold on to the truth of what God said about it. Not what man said, but what God said. All right. Now the next one, whatsoever things are honest. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Come on. Whatsoever things are just. We're justified by our faith. Come on. Whatsoever things are pure. We ask God to cleanse us and purify us daily. Whatsoever things are lovely. We think of 1 Corinthians 13, and at the end, the greatest of these is love. Okay, come on, stay with me now. Whatsoever things are a good report. We want to hold on to the good report even before the report comes in. Amen? Glory be to God. And that's so hard when you physically don't see it, but you believe it. My God shall supply every one of my need according to his riches by Christ Jesus. All right. Oh, glory. Ooh, glory be to God. I felt that Holy Spirit. I receive it right now. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. There be any. Just as Paul comments about worrying, he says that we should think on good and godly things. That's the key, godly things. When we focus on positive and wholesome events, memorials, plans, etc., then it's hard to be worried about anything else. Because you fill most of your spirit man up with the goodness of God, with godly things. I remember the other day, after the Christian music went off, then it came time for Steve Harvey to come on, and I missed his commentary. And then I came back in the room because I thought he was still talking. And there was a song that was played that was what we call today a crossover song, which meant that it could go gospel or it could go for the world. But the reason why the gospel artists made it was that so that it would draw the world into the gospel. And it was the Whining Song, you know, heaven is where I want to be. And that's what I live for. Heaven is where I want to be. And when I saw the interview, I saw the Whining's interview years ago on this, that was their desire. They wanted to see how they could bring others from the club, amen, from whoever that would turn on the radio, they would hear that song and it would relate to God. And that was their purpose of doing that. Glory be to God. So number four, glory be to God. The Holy Spirit can bring peace. Over in the book of John, the 14th chapter, the 26th and the 27th verse, it will definitely bring light to what I'm stating here regarding how the Holy Spirit can bring peace. Right in the worrying and the stress, the Holy Spirit can come in and do God's best. Amen. Glory be to God. You have your book, your Bible with you. Amen. I'll just read it. But the Comforter, that's what the Holy Spirit is called, the Comforter. Amen. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He's going on your behalf. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And that's good for when we get a little older or when we're tired. The Holy Spirit will bring things back into your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, and I love this part here, peace I leave with you. So when Jesus left up out of here, and he said he's dwelling in us anyway, he left his peace with us. So that commandment should be on your life right now. So when somebody tick you off real quick, remember, his peace is in you. Amen. When you get a very bad report, his peace is in you. And the Holy Spirit's job is to bring it up, calm the situation down, to settle your spirit down. Hallelujah. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So not only is he leaving, he's bringing it back. He's giving it back to you when you need it. Amen. When you put it on the shelf. Or when you just don't want to pick it up after you heard what you heard, you just want to deal with that in an anger way. He said, I'm going to give you my peace. My peace surpasses all understanding. They're not going to understand why you come when you should be going off. You should be giving them a thing or two. Amen. You have every right. You got evidence. Amen. But God said, I need you to handle this in a peaceful manner. I don't need you to handle like you're going to handle it. No, let me handle it. He said, I'm giving you peace. You got peace. Understand something. Two things going on here. God declares unto you through the Holy Spirit that you got his peace. And then he said, he going to give you peace. So he already telling you, he know you're going to be tested for the peace that's within you. And he's telling you, he going to give you that peace to calm you down. Huh? He going to give you that peace to make it all right. That's that it is well part right there. He's going to get, he has commanded it right here. And he says, oh, I love this part. I give unto you not as the world giveth. Oh, Lord, y'all to rise back and say hallelujah. Not as the world's giving peace only lasts for a minute. It's like when you open up your gift and you go, whoo, and then immediately you calm down real quick because you're trying to make a decision whether you're going to have joy about it or you take this back, wrong size. They know I don't wear that no more. Mm-mm. No, she didn't. I don't like this color. Oh, what? Mm-hmm. They done lost their mind. Gone too far now. Just gone way too far now. I ain't going for that. So here, now, remember, he give you that peace and you have the peace and he gives it to you. So then it says here at the latter part of the script, not as the world giveth unto you, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, good God. I can throw my paper up too, Minister Jennifer. Let not your heart be troubled. I need to say it again. I know y'all thinking y'all at home going service or whatever. No, God was talking to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Huh? Neither let it be afraid. Don't get afraid because you've got a bad report or you heard a bad report or you seen something bad. Don't be afraid. He, the Holy Spirit, he got this. In that chapter there, John 14, Jesus is explaining to his disciples where he is going and that he will return. In the meantime, the Holy Spirit of God will come and dwell in the believers. That's the present he left to us. And they did not have the Holy Spirit with them at that time as we do today. We got it going on, y'all. Well, one of the names of the Holy Spirit Jesus often talk about is Comforter. I'm on this tonight because a Comforter, the Holy Spirit can help take your cares and ease them. Like a cow gone, take me away. Ease you. Oh, I need it right now. Woo! The hustle and bustle of the day. Oh, ease me. Comfort me, Holy Spirit. Give me what I need right now in the name of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comforts you and helps take care of your cares that you cast. That doesn't mean that we never have any concerns, but we don't worry like we would if we didn't trust that God was in charge. The Holy Spirit is our companion to remind us that God has control. That's his job. He, the Holy Spirit, he got our back. He's not going to leave us for forsakers. Number five, I promise y'all I was going to get through this tonight. We got to trust God's strength. Trust God's strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got to trust God's strength. Hallelujah. Glory be God. Trust God's strength. Second Timothy 1 and 7. Amen. Glory be to God. Just going over a few from there. Whew. Praise God. I'm trying to calm down so I can really give it to you all tonight. Praise God. He released me to do that, and I thank him for that. Praise God. Isn't it amazing how, amen, he said stop last week, and he allowed me to pick up what a mighty God we serve. That 2 Timothy, the first chapter, just the seventh verse, and the King James says here, for God had not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear that we have is not from God. Understand that the basis of your worrying ultimately comes back to the fact that you are not trusting God. You are not trusting God when you worry. God wants us to stop worrying and not to be afraid. I can't express that enough tonight. Stop worrying. And don't be afraid. Be of good courage, he says. Now, number 7, remember that God cares for you. Oh, I forgot 6. I'm sorry. Worrying is not from God. I'm sorry. I thought I said that. I'm sorry. And that was 2 Timothy 1:7. So worrying is not from God. Remember, that's the one where we got God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And remember, he put that peace on us before he nullified all of that. So that sustains us from all of those attacks that may come our way, you know, to try to get us to get ugly and be ugly and stay ugly. So we don't want none of them. Mm-mm, no, I love the show This Old House, when they go in and they beautify a house that's been gone through the mill for years, and they just update it to the now. Amen. God just want to come in and take care of that old house and renew it and restore it with his joy and his peace. You know, praise God, and I thank him for it. So now we're at number 7. Remember that God cares for you. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:6-7. So while you're worrying, you're stressed about a thing or a person or something being done unto you, remember that God cares for you. And in 1 Peter 5:6-7, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You're going to love this one. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. This is the same hand that David dealt with. He says that he may exalt you in due time, casting some of your cares. No, it's all, y'all. It's casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen to this one. God cares for you and for me. We made that clear. He wants to take our problems and solve them. Isn't it frustrating for us as parents to see our children struggle with a problem? Y'all ain't see my hand. But they don't want to listen to us on how to solve it. Oh, I'm going to lean back myself and say amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. They come to us and tell us things are wrong. Yet, when we offer a solution, they take the problem back and try to solve it on their own. It makes us hurt for their sake. I gotta say it again. It makes us hurt for their sake. What we are doing is going to God when they worry. We're going saying, God, please help this child. I have done all I could do. I hope y'all still there. Okay, let me click there. I have said all I can say. I've done all I can do. So when we want to tell him or them what's God telling us to help them, but they want to take the problem back and try to shoulder it themselves. And the flip side is that we try to take on something that they're carrying ourselves. You know, that's my child. I raised my child. I can do this. And God said, no, I need you to give it to me. Anybody give it to me, universities out there, I know. Well, when we worry, about nothing. And I say it's nothing because we're supposed to cast it back to him so he can take care of it. So it's no longer, woo, glory be to God. I hope y'all saw that. Because remember, y'all got the grace on you. Y'all got the peace on you. He gave it to you. It's in you, and he gave it to you. So when they come with you with a problem and you give them the advice from God, you have cast that care back to God, because immediately you're going to release your faith back to God. I'm sorry, excuse me. You're going to release your faith back to God. And the most important thing you're going to do tonight about it is that you are going to trust God. You are going to surrender that thing back to God, where you no longer have to feel the heaviness of it. You have asked God to expose the minus in it so that you could stand on the plus. And God is rendering you tonight from it. And he's saying, no more worry and no more stress, no more fear and no more doubt. Only my faith. Only believe. Remember, when you release it, it is no longer your business. It's God's business. And he wants everything that's worrying you. He wants everything that's stressing you. And what he wants to leave, like his son Jesus Christ, he wants to leave the Holy Spirit. So the Comforter comes up. The Comforter shows up. And the Comforter gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding. So that when it comes, only thing that comes to pass is the joy of the Lord that is now your strength, because you're standing on the promises of God. And when you stand on God's promises, everything has got to bow. Nothing but victory comes to pass. So when the phone rings and there's someone stressed, and there's someone weary, all you do is allow the peace of God to rise up and give them the word of God that will calm the storms in their life. Mm-hmm. In their life. Now, remember, I'm not saying that we just have a bit of roses every day in our life. I am saying that when it comes, cast it over to God. Amen. Because why? He cares for you. He cares for you. And he don't want you all loaded up with stress and worrying. He wants you loaded up with good things. Remember, whatsoever things are true. Amen. So when they call you, if it's not from God, you know that's not true. So that means you got to turn that conversation over to God. You got to speak life about that thing and not death. Amen. The only thing deafness that you're speaking is you're binding up those things that so easily beset you. Amen. And you're seeking the promises of God. Amen. Though at that time they may not receive what you're saying, you have sown a seed. And if it's a godly seed, it will reap a what? A harvest. Amen. And I'm declaring an end time harvest on our seeds that we are spoken, that is manifesting now and not later. Hallelujah. So let us, amen, look before the Lord in, amen, a prayer. Father, we thank you in the name, Lord Jesus. We give every worry and every level of stress back to you tonight, oh God. When we're tried and tested, allow us to have victory over it, just like David. Lord, we declare and we decree tonight that every good and perfect gift comes from you, O Lord. So, Lord, we stand on your promises that all is well in our house, in our vessel that you have created, in the structure house that you have so fitly desired for us to dwell in. And Lord, we desire, oh God, to walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have full authority to lead, guide, and comfort us, to keep us as we have never been kept before. Take us to that holy of holies where we have the peace that surpasses all understanding. So we declare from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, no stress, no worry shall take us out. Only the grace of God, the peace of God, shall keep us in him. We live, we move, and we have our being. Let us be the beacon light that you have created us to be. Our feet are sharp with the preparation of peace. We have on the whole armor of God that we can withstand, and we are able to go out in the army of soldiers of Christ and declare our ambassadorship in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we decree the love of God works in us and through us and for us. And we will share that love with all mankind until Jesus comes back and declares us unto him own. Lord, we say to you, thank you, we love you, and we stand boldly and march out the victory over worrying and stress. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, thank God, and amen. The body of Christ say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go and grow in Jesus' name. Amen.